So I've done a lot of pruning and trying to bring some encouragement too on my emphasis as well. I'm going to read from verses 6 to 15, which was a text chosen. Therefore, as you receive Jesus Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him you also, you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Should have had that up there, I'm sorry. We certainly live in uncertain days, and we need a certainty. A certainty which neither governments, stock exchanges, pundits, philosophers, and even doctors cannot provide. And I cannot provide it either of my own self, but Jesus Christ can and does. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. I don't have my head in the sand about how serious the situation in which we find ourselves, and I don't need to be a prophet to say I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. Christians are not immune from bad stuff. Christians are not immune from bad stuff because they're believers. We may have changed lives, and some very spectacularly, but we can still suffer from COVID-19, cancer, broken marriages, mental illness, bankruptcies, and you name it. But the one thing we need to know about our God is that he is a perfect, loving, and holy God, and that he is in control. I'm not a spiritual quack who has all the answers or the hotline from God about what this pestilence, this illness, this virus is, whether it's something from Ezekiel or Revelation. But we're warned in the Bible to be ready for stuff that shows up, for earthquakes, wars, famines, plagues, and indeed we must not be deflected by them. But we are encouraged to be ready. And for me, the most important thing to be ready, the way we ready ourselves, is to have confidence in who Jesus is and what he's done. Who Jesus is and what he's done. And our passage, which was set a long time ago, has set out for us very neatly. It reassures us the most important thing, that we as Christians are in him, and we've been made alive in him. First of all, we're encouraged to walk in him. We're exhorted to walk in Christ. And we do this by being rooted and built up in him. And these words, of course, are written for those who have received Christ. And for those who are not yet sure where they are with Christ, I might give a few words at the end. We walk in him because we can, and we should. How do we walk in Christ? And I've just made a wee list of little things we can walk in Christ. I think keeping short accounts with God. When stuff crops up in our life, just getting straight to God immediately and saying, yep, I should have done that, I'm sorry. I think it means talking with him as we walk with him. praying without ceasing, not necessarily on your knees in your little room, but as you go along in life, talking to Jesus and meditating on his greatness. And dare I say it, in this postmodern age, marveling at the truth about Christ, which is Paul's encouragement in our section of Colossians here this morning. Because true worshippers must worship him in spirit and in truth. Notice how Christ-centered all this is. We need Christ-centered lives today more than ever. More than ever. To be alive in Christ is to walk in Christ, to be rooted in Christ, and to make Christ the center of our lives. Not that I think you don't, but I'm just encouraging you to do that. The crushing false gospel. Wish we had a little screen up there. I could see what I've got. The crushing false gospel. The truth about Jesus does matter. And it's essential for us in this storm that we know what we believe and why we believe it. The people to whom Jesus is rudest about in the New Testament, and the apostles likewise, are not the adulterers and the fornicators, interestingly enough. It's about those who give false teaching, false prophets. The strongest language is used against them. And as it says in verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, not according to Christ. And Paul is clear about the origins of false teaching. It's not just human, but it's demonic, from the elemental spirits of the universe. Not only are we humans separated from God, but the spiritual powers also, some of them which organize and direct the universe, are also fallen at that time. But the good news we will see is that Jesus has defeated those powers who whisper lies in our ears and telling us we're failures, we're doomed, our church is rotten, we're no good. They're just lies. And they're demonic in origin. And secondly, they trash the gospel by adding to it, taking away its joy and certainty. And the teachings that Paul was dealing with, the false teaching, which I haven't got time to go into, were things like Christ plus knowledge of spiritual secrets, Christ plus rituals, Christ plus extra rules, Christ plus spiritual secrets, etc., Christ plus extra Sabbaths. But Christ alone is enough. We had a song which I should have thought about it. I'd have asked you to sing, Christ is enough. Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. He is sufficient for our needs. And now we come to the heart of our text, the true gospel. The reasons why we are alive in Christ and can walk with him are given in 7 verses of pure theology. What bliss. In verses 9 to 15. And they're just given boldly, without any explanation. Bang, bang, bang. And none of these truths, not one, is going to be taken away by coronavirus, by shutdowns, by unprecedented economic changes in which we're about to pass through. And in these 7 verses, Paul brings out 7 truths about who Christ is and what he has done. And the first one is verse 9. In him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Paul emphasizes first who Christ is. Who Christ is. Christ is fully divine, but also fully human in a way we cannot possibly understand it. He is a wonder to the entire spiritual universe looking on. That God sent his only divine son into the world to be born in a carpenter's family in Galilee 2,000 years ago is part of the gospel. Unless Jesus were fully divine, we would have no hope. And we should be very fearful this morning. When God created the universe, the divine Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the carpenter, was there with him in glory. Nothing is outside his creative control, including viruses. He is the Lord and the giver of life. The second truth, and you have been filled in him. We who have received Christ are indwelt with him. He lives in us today by his Spirit. And there's another promise in Colossians, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The third truth, Christ, who is the head of all rule and authority, he's above all things, both material and spiritual in the universe. There is no spiritual power or spiritual force that is greater than he. There is no demonic power or human power or natural phenomenon, no government above Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. You need to know these things on dark days. The strange one, in whom you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hand by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. The flesh, our sinful nature, is also defeated in Christ. He has done all these things for us. We don't need circumcision like the Jews used to because Christ has been circumcised for us. He's done all sorts of things for us. Well, I haven't got time to go into them this morning. That is completed. There are no extras we need for our salvation and life. This is the really encouraging one. Having been buried with him in baptism, which you were also raised with him through Christ, through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him. We died with Christ, symbolized by our baptism. We were raised again. And we identify not just with Christ's death, but also with his resurrection. We have hope. We have hope. We are alive with Christ and can freely identify with him. The sixth point, sixth truth. Having forgiven us all our trespasses by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. The reason we can be made alive is because Jesus has taken all of our sins, all of them. We need to know that on a dark day. Jesus has taken all of our sins upon himself at the cross. It is our sins that kill us, but his righteousness, which we receive, is called imputed to us, that makes us alive. We need have no fear that our sins are not forgiven. The gospel is outrageous in its generosity to us. And don't believe the lies of the devil that you're not good enough, that you haven't done enough. No one ever has. And truth seven, he disarmed the rulers and the authorities put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. And finally, in this last little section we have here, just to reassure us, Jesus deals with the demonic powers as well that has held so many in fear and bring in the false teaching, claiming an authority over us, which they do not have. So there are millions of people today, millions and millions and millions of people bound up with fear of spirits, the occult, thinking that it does a genuine power. Although they can let them have the power over them, Jesus has defeated it. It's part of our mission is a power encounter that Jesus Christ is greater than the spirits that hold you. And if you're not sure of your status as a Christian, you become a Christian when you repent and believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and was raised to life on the third day. And doing this, you receive Christ and these seven truths as well, which are part of the same thing. Much, much more. The Holy Spirit as well. There's a huge temptation to add to Christian teaching. Huge temptation. Because it seems too simple to self-important people who think they know everything. Yet this passage shows that this very simple gospel has great depth. Great depth. The gospel is outrageously free, and it is very, very good news. And we need good news. One of the problems for Christians is they don't know how good the good news is. And I'd add how bad the bad news is without Christ. How do we do with this? We just sit at home and feel smug. I've got all this truth. I know the gospel. I'm fine. Well, the Bible encourages us, this passage encourages us to walk in him, be rooted and grounded in him. And if you go on to read chapters 3 and 4 of the same letter, you'll learn a lot more about the Christian walk. These are good things to have under our belt. In conclusion, as a nation, as a local community, we have just set out in a new chapter of our national life. A very wild journey, and we don't want to be on. We're stuck in this boat. We want to get off, and we cannot. It's dark outside. And there are people in the boat with us who are pessimistic, and we hear their negative comments. We don't know when we will reach the far shore. We cannot even see it. We cannot see the destination. The national navigator, I believe, is doing her very best. But neither she nor anyone else has experienced anything like it before, and there are no charts for this particular type of thing. But in the darkness, there is another figure. He is walking alongside us on the water. Above the turmoil of wind, above the varices, above the waves. And we may cry out with fear. And he isn't a ghost of our imaginations, but the Lord himself, who says to us, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Jesus is going to come alongside us. He's going to get into our boat, and he's going to bring our boat through the storm. And we will reach the shore. Jesus does not promise an easy passage for a believer. But he promises us life, which only he can give. And I believe we're going to look back corporately as a church and perhaps as a wider national community and look back through a shared common experience and be glad we've gone through it. Because we're going to learn a lot. And see that the Lord was walking along with us all the time in that boat. Jesus says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He also promises, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. When you walk with the Lord, as the song says, you'll never be alone. May God bless you.